I don't believe you're going to find any person who is a growing Christian who is not meditating upon the Word of God.
Welcome to the Thursday edition of In Touch, the teaching ministry of Charles Stanley. There are three questions that all people grapple with. Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going? The Bible gives the only satisfactory response to those internal longings. Because the Bible contains the mind of God, its answers do not rely on human powers of reason, logic, or observation. Today, Dr. Stanley concludes his series, Back to Basics, by reminding us that God's Word offers an eternal perspective on all of life. In essence, it's our textbook for living. Learn more as you listen now to Charles Stanley.
Now, there are probably lots of reasons that people neglect reading the Word of God. One of them is they don't understand what it is. And to some people, they say, well, you know, I trusted Jesus as my Savior. I'm a Christian, and I do read the Bible, but somehow they don't really understand what this is. And there are many people, of course, who do not read it because they do not believe it. They don't think it's authentic. They think it was written by a group of men who put all this together, and therefore this is like any other book, full of myths, full of stories, maybe partially true historically, but it certainly could not be a divinely given book. That's their opinion of it. Now, the reason they believe that is because they don't know the author. Once you know the author, then suddenly this book takes on a whole different perspective. So I want you to turn, if you will, to what is the golden text concerning the Word of God, and that is 2 Timothy chapter 3. And let's begin reading in verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. And Paul is writing to young Timothy, and he refers to the Scriptures here. And if you'll notice, beginning in this 14th verse, what he says. He says, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." Now, notice what the Apostle Paul said, the practical purposes. Ultimately, the purpose is for God to unveil Himself. And so, what you and I know about Him, we know about Him in the Scriptures here. And so, the practical purpose, he says, God has given us His Word, and notice how he says it. He says it's beneficial. Listen to what he says. He says in verse 16, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable." Now listen, he says all of it's profitable. Once in a while somebody says, "Well, I'm just a New Testament Christian." Well, I'm a New Testament Christian too. But that doesn't mean that the Old Testament is less inspired or that it's not important. Because here's what God's doing in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you and I are beginning to understand the power of God in the Old Testament, the ways of God, how He worked in the lives of those individuals, how He worked in the nation of Israel, how He works in nations today. And listen, the principles given to us in the Old Testament, those principles are just as real, just as applicable, just as true as the principles given to us in the New Testament. The Old Testament isn't just for the Jews. The Old Testament is for every single believer, just as is the New Testament. And if you'll notice, he says it is beneficial. It is profitable. Profitable for what? And then he names four things. He says, first of all, it's profitable for teaching. That is for doctrine. Now, there are a lot of people who want to go to church and want to come to church, and they want to hear a sermon, feel good. And if the pastor doesn't talk about sin, talks about encouraging things, and things are going to get better and better and sweet and sweet. In fact, in spite of the fact that everything around you is getting worse and worse and falling apart, I don't know why anybody listens to that kind of sermon, frankly. Because, first of all, it isn't true. Things are not getting better and better. They're getting worse and worse. How bad are they going to get? Read the book of the Revelation. You'll find out there's not a single verse of Scripture in the Bible that says things are just going to get better and better and gooder and gooder. It's just not going to be that way. This world is headed for an absolute total disaster. It is going to be so bad, the Bible says, that God's going to make it all ash one of these days in order to create it the way He wants it once again. Now, I'm for people shouting and praising the Lord. If they want to jump up and down and praise Him, that's fine with me. But be sure you're praising the God of the Scriptures. Now, here's what happens. when people allow their emotions to get out of balance. You know what they do? Here's what happens. Instead of getting in the Word of God, it's more and more feeling, 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 feeling. What God wants to... Listen, God gave us His Word not so we'd feel good. God gave us His Word so we'd know who He is. Now, when I understand who He is, sometimes I can't stand still. And I can't sit still. And I do want to praise the Lord and shout glory to Almighty God, the sovereign of this universe. But not just feeling good so I'll feel good. He says the Word of God is given first of all for teaching. Likewise, he says, it is beneficial for reproof. It is necessary. Now, what does he mean by reproof? Conviction over sin. This is why people can just live in sin and live in sin and say, well, you know, I'm just as good as the next one. When you get in the Word of God, what happens? The Spirit of God takes the Word of God, applies it to the heart of man, and what do we have? We get God's viewpoint about our actions or our habits or whatever may be going on in our life. That's the way God works. And so it begins with conviction of sin. He reveals to us those things in our life that ought not be there. He reveals to us those things, listen, that cloud our relationship with Him. Those things that clutter our life. Those things that cause Him to be pushed to the periphery when He wants to be at the center and the core and the heart and the soul of our very being. God is, listen, He's after everything that competes with His love for us. Anything and everything, anybody and everybody that competes for your love for God, God wants to get rid of it. Doesn't mean you can't have wonderful relationships in life and friends and parents and husbands and wives and children and so forth, but anything that competes with His love and devotion. He wants us because that's why He created us, to love us and to be loved in return. So conviction is for the purpose of bringing me to the truth of God, to examine those areas in which God is finding competition with my obedience to Him. The third reason He says He gave us the Word, and that is for correction. That is, God isn't interested in just convicting us of sin and saying, shame on you, but He wants to correct that. And you see, anytime God brings up something in our life that's not right, there are other scriptures that say, and this is how you correct that. This is what you do now. God is interested in correcting. That's why He says, the entrance of thy word gives light. This is what this book is all about. This is why we say it's our guidebook. It is our textbook. This is the book we study. A textbook isn't something you read just for pleasure. A textbook is a book you work with, that you get into. You meditate upon it. You sort of absorb it. You make it a part of your thinking, a part of your living. To guide us, to guard us, and to govern our life. That's what this book's all about. It is the most precious book because of its very nature. It is the unfolding revelation of God of Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so He says He gives it to us also for correction. But there's something else. He says He gives it also for instruction, training in righteousness. That is, how do we learn to live the Christian life? By getting in the Word of God. It doesn't mean that we're going to read several chapters or two or three books and have it all down. The wonder of the Word of God, the awesomeness of it is this, that you can read a passage today and come back tomorrow and read it and you think, I didn't see that. And so what is God doing? He is giving us in His Word a blueprint. He says we're to walk in His Spirit. He tells us how. He says that Jesus Christ is our life, and He explains that. He says that you and I are to walk in the Spirit, in wisdom, in light, in love, so that you and I, if we'll read the Scriptures, we'll know how to live. And not only will we know how to live, we'll be continually reminded of the fact that the Holy Spirit who lives within us will enable us. Doesn't mean He won't make mistakes and falter and fall and be weak and sin against Him? No, it doesn't mean that. But He says, my little children, these things I've written unto you that you sin not. And as you and I are meditating upon the Word of God and growing in our Christian life, you can mark this down. I don't believe you're going to find any person who is a growing Christian who is not meditating upon the Word of God. Now, notice how He concludes this particular part. He says, verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God. He says it's profitable for teaching, correction, and reproof and training in righteousness. For what reason? Now listen to what He says. In order that, He says, here's the practical, ultimate bottom line of it. In order that men and women of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. What does He mean by that? Simply this. As you and I are in the Word of God, reading the Scriptures and meditating upon the Word of God, He says, God, as we absorb the knowledge and wisdom and the ways and understanding of God, He says, what that does is it makes us adequate. It makes us adequate for any and every single thing we face in life. Now, that doesn't mean we're adequate in ourselves. We understand from the Scriptures that our adequacy is from God, that it is the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, meditating upon the Word of God. It keeps it ever before us that we are to live dependent upon Him. And so it makes us adequate for what? Every single child of God, if you and I are meditating upon the Scriptures, searching to know the mind of God, we will be adequate to face any and every situation, circumstance, trial, tribulation, heartache, burden, happiness, peace, joy, success in life. We'll be able to face it adequately. Then he says, not only will you be able to face all the challenges in life adequately, he says, but also its purpose is, it's equipping us for every good work. Now, here's what happens, and this is the reason the world's in the church today instead of the church being in the world like it ought to be. Because men have closed the Word of God. Men have laid it aside, prepared their sermons and laid aside the Word of God, or prepare them without much Scripture. And what's happened is, we have begun to listen to the world's wisdom. Now, listen carefully. We are either going to live our lives by the wisdom of the world, or we're going to live our lives by the wisdom of God. Now, I don't have to tell you, the world's wisdom out there is a contradiction of this. And so, therefore, we have to make a choice. And you can't sit in front of a television set day after day, week after week, year after year, and absorbing the world's wisdom to the neglect of the Word of God and walk in the wisdom of God. And so, it's looking at it, reading it, meditating upon it, asking God to show you what's happening. You're being equipped. And I believe if anybody will listen to the messages week after week, month after month, year after year, what's God doing? Building you up, equipping you with the truth, giving you understanding. It isn't man giving, it is God giving it. It is God using His Word to do what? To make you adequate to face circumstances and to equip you to serve God in whatever way He chooses to call you. And we must operate on the basis of the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of the world. And so Paul says this is the reason it's profitable. Then here's what he said. He speaks of the proclamation of the message of this word. Listen. Chapter 4, verse 1. He said, I solemnly, look at this, I solemnly charge you, Timothy, in the presence of Almighty God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by His appearing at His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. He says, because the time is coming when people won't want it. They just won't want it. Now he says, what he said to him, he says, proclaim it. He says, shout it out. Tell it. What he said to Timothy, he says to all of us, not behind the pulpit necessarily, but in your home or in your business, among your friends, among your enemies, whatever it may be. You and I are to be telling and talking about Jesus. Now, notice what he said. This is the part we forget sometimes. He said, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom, you preach the word. Not tell stories. Not talk about news. Not talk about politics. I'm not saying that all these things are of no importance. But I'm saying the responsibility of the servant of God is to preach the Word of God. And that's why He called us pastor teachers, to instruct people in the Word of the living God. God wants Himself unveiled. He says, be instant, in season, out of season. What does He mean? Well, when He says this, He's simply saying, there'll be some times when it's convenient. He said, you do it when it's convenient, when it's not convenient. He said there'll be times when it's accepted, times when it's not accepted. You do it whether it's accepted or not. That is, it's not our choice to speak the truth when it's convenient, or when it's accepted, and when people like it. He said, speak the truth, and let the truth be heard. And when the truth is heard, it will edify those who will accept it. And it will condemn those who refuse it. Because light accepted brings light. And light rejected brings darkness. And so he said, be ready. That is, be alert. And what he was really saying is this. He says, develop a sense of urgency, Timothy. He says, be ready. Be urgent about it. That is, don't get up and say, well, let me tell you about Jesus today. I want to tell you about Jesus. He says a sense of urgency. A sense of, he says, I solemnly charge you. We ought to be excited about the Word of God. It is the only hope of mankind. And we ought to be excited about the Bible because it is the only book that unveils the truth of God and the full truth of God that He intends for you and me to understand. I solemnly charge you, in the presence of Almighty God and His Son, Jesus Christ, who's the judge and who will appear one of these days, preach the Word, He said, be instant, or, as He said, be ready. In season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, that is to encourage with great patience and instruction. He says, when you and I are sharing with other people, talking about the Word, we're to be patient. What is it? Why did He say be patient? Here's the reason. He says instructing in patience. That means you don't expect everybody to be on the same level. And you don't look at this person and criticize him and criticize her, or say this one's better than that one, these people are more spiritual than someone else. God knows where we all are. He knows where we all came from. Some of us came from about minus zero. Now, what I'm asking you is this. Are you hungry for the Word of God? Do you want to know the truth? Do you have an insatiable desire to know this God whom you serve? Listen, there's no such thing as Almighty God creating a hunger in your heart for Him unless He satisfies that hunger. He creates no desire He does not intend to satisfy. And I simply want to ask you this question. If you're just absolutely deadly honest, how much time in any given week is your Bible open and you are reading it, meditating upon it, thinking about it, asking God to speak to you through it? How much time in any given week are you allowing God to speak to you through His Word? Let's don't count preaching time. I'm talking about just you and your Bible. Listen, in Jesus' name, please listen to me. I don't care how much money you got, what you own. You don't have anything. There's nothing you own as valuable as that piece right there, the Word of God. You don't own anything as valuable as that. What does prominence and prestige and status, what will that do for you when you're dying? Nothing. A lot of folks come to your funeral, that's all, but you're gone. What will all those things do for your peace and happiness when the bottom in your life drops out and you face impossible situations and circumstances? What do all those things do? Nothing. And when your body is racked with pain and the doctors have done everything they know how to do, and life is just hanging on by a balance, what do all those things have to do? Nothing. How many times have I walked into a hospital room when somebody knew that they were dying? And I opened a copy of the Word of God and began to read and watch their countenance change. How many times have I stood in this very place, right here, in this very position, and here's the casket, and the remains of some loved one. And all across these front two rows of the family. And they first come in, they sit down. There's this terrible sense of agony and pain. Naturally, that's normal, not being critical. Open the Word of God. Begin to talk about Jesus. Begin to talk about things that I know are true. Begin to talk about things that God said is true. About His presence and His comfort and His assurance and heaven and life eternal. And bodily resurrection, and that you don't put saints in a casket, only the remains. That person's absent from the body, present with the Lord. How many times have I stood here and began to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and watch the countenance change right in front of me? And what was somber, what was sad, what was empty to begin with begins to brighten up, and their eyes begin to sparkle, and a smile upon their face. And when they walk out of here with the family, they walk out totally different than they came in. Why? It has nothing to do with the man. It has to do with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it has to do with. And my friend, I would say to you this. If your philosophy of life won't do when you're dying, you better dump it. And find something that will, because you're going to die. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. This book is good enough to live by, and it's good enough to die by. And if your philosophy isn't good enough to live and die by, you need to dump that one and get the one that is adequate for living and for dying. And Father, we love you. Lord, how we love you and praise you for giving us this precious, precious book, which we call the Sacred Scriptures, the Word of God, the Holy Bible. I pray that every doubter will be smitten with conviction in their heart. Every agnostic, every atheist will face the reality of what we've just said. I pray the Spirit of God will bring about conviction and correction and light to understand that Jesus, the Son of God, will change their atheism into full belief in the one true God, redeeming their sin-sick soul, bringing about a new birth, a new heart, a new spirit, a new life, a whole new future. I pray, Father, for multitudes of people who are lost because they've never opened this book, because they've heard about its criticisms, and they've heard about the attacks upon it, but they've never had the courage to open it for themselves. How would you pray that multitudes of people will open it and begin to read it? And we know that they will find you because you're there finding them. I pray for the salvation of multitudes who will discover Jesus as your only begotten Son, as adequate for total forgiveness and an absolute assurance that heaven will be their eternal home. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Bible is the truth upon which every person can build a meaningful life. Charles Stanley urged you to read it, meditate upon it, and absorb its truths every day. Change in behavior doesn't always come as quickly as we'd like, but change is God's ultimate goal for us. God wants to change us so that we're just like His Son. That's also the purpose and the goal of our monthly publication, the In Touch magazine. Each month you'll find instructive articles by Charles Stanley that make it easy to apply scriptural principles to the situations you encounter. The changes that will take place in your life won't happen overnight, but slowly, as Christ becomes your life, you'll be amazed at how your attitudes and actions more closely reflect the character of Jesus Christ. If you're looking for solid and practical biblical guidelines upon which to build your life, then write today for your free subscription to the In Touch magazine. Our address is In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Once again, that's In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Want to get your day off to a good start? Then visit our website each day for an inspirational devotional designed to help you turn your attention to the Lord. If you'd like to hear today's message again, you'll find a replay on Real Audio. Our web address is intouch.org. Now, the key to spiritual growth can be summed up in one word, obedience. So tomorrow, Dr. Stanley examines how we can hear and obey what God commands. Discover the formula for personal growth, Friday, on In Touch. Touching the world with a passion for God and compassion for people. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, USA.